All right, how about hour number two on a Monday? Trying to dig through the weekend. If you're a Longhorn fan and an Astros fan, you got half of what you wanted this weekend. Obviously, the Longhorns fall in Stillwater. Astros into the World Series, though, and we've certainly mentioned that. Cowboys got a win with Dak Prescott coming back. Although bad news for the Cowboys today is Jordan Lewis. That injury that looked like it was something to do with a foot. Yeah, it's a Lisfranc injury. He is out for the rest of the season. That is tough. And the news that just broke over the last few minutes, the Indianapolis Colts, for presumably the rest of the season, are going to go with a new starting quarterback. And his name is Sam Ehlinger. Congratulations to Sam.
Tough.
Nick Foles the backup, is that what you said?
Yeah, a lot of Westlake pride.
How about that?
In that quarterback room.
Shap backs up a Shap for the blue and white for the rest of the year, presumably, as Matt Ryan has just not worked out. For the Colts, Tennessee busted him up pretty good yesterday. That pick six to make it 10-0, that did not help.
Yeah.
That did not help Matt Ryan's cause at all. So Matty Ice is now Matty on Ice, and Sam Ehlinger is your starter. A lot of stuff going on today. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe at Cantina Hotline and dig back into the Longhorn part of it. Joe Cook, Inside Texas, on 3.com. He was over there for the Sark press conference today. Yes, they did one on the off Monday. Joe, it was a heck of a game in Stillwater, and some interesting comments today coming off of it from Sark. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. Made the trek back yesterday, so ready to roll into the bye week. And I think, you know, I'm not anywhere like this team is after having a training camp in 8 straight weeks, but I'm ready for a little bit of some off time.
Yeah, I think everybody that's around it could probably take a little breather. So Joe, having been there and seen it from that perspective, give me your thoughts on the whole quarterback situation. Were you watching that game thinking maybe it's time to give Hudson Card at least a little bit of a look and give Quinn Ewers a breath and a chance to look at things? Or were you watching the game thinking this just needs to change in terms of play calling? Or was it maybe both?
A little bit of both. I think as far as Quinn goes, you know, I really do wonder if this is a storyline, if Dabo hadn't done it a little bit earlier, like literally in the game leading in to the Longhorns game, I think on that Sam channel, especially with Cade Klubnik from Austin. You know, I really wonder if this would have been as big a question as it was if it weren't for that happening. But at the same time, I was watching that game and, you know, I had my binoculars out and I was looking toward the sideline thinking, okay, when's Hudson Card going to start warming up? Because something's just not right here. And, you know, besides the wind and whatever other things that everybody downplayed, Quinn Ewers just wasn't effective. And Derek Mason realized that. Mike Gundy realized that, and as a result, they said, okay, number three, you got to go win this game for your team. And I think that's why that run game was really struggling towards the second half. They said, you know, we're not going to get beat by Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson. We're going to get beat by Quinn Ewers, who hasn't beaten anybody today. And that bet worked out, and that's why the Cowboys came back in the end.
Yeah, Joe, just a rough one all around. I mean, it seems like 30 incompletions, that's just crazy. But then you look at the penalty side, and again, you were there. Is that a little sketchy to you, the fact that the Cowboys had 0 penalties to the Horns 14?
You know, I don't think there was anything sketchy about Texas's volume of penalties. Most of those were deserved. I really do think so. Especially when they're false starts or offsides. I didn't really see, there's always going to be one or two flags to where you kind of raise your eyebrows like, oh, how dare you call that? But that's football. Oklahoma State did get flagged twice. I think both were just either declined or offset. So it wasn't like they were a complete shutout. But at the same time, like, I think that just illustrates what Oklahoma State really is right now. We knew going into the game that they were a veteran team with a bunch of 23, 24-year-olds, and that kind of reflects that. Now, maybe there should have been one or two that were on the official ledger, but I think what that goes to show is that, you know, unlike Texas, who has a redshirt freshman at quarterback, a true sophomore at wide receiver leading the way, a true sophomore at tight end, so on and so forth. A lot of young guys making these contributions, at least on offense, and in some areas on defense. That was reflected in the penalties. The experienced team who's played a lot more football and has been in a lot more of these fights and knows how to play clean to win, played clean to win. And the one that didn't and is not major in that and has not been an expert in that did not. Now, I think that's really what the story of the penalties tell. Not so much that, Bob Bowlesby and now, Brett Yormark, they just have it out for Texas and trying to kick us while we're down, while we're in the, last years of the Big 12. I don't buy that. This was not that 2015 game in Austin. This was not, any of another number of games you could point to. This was just an experienced team playing a clean game when it needed to, and I think that was reflected more in the penalties than really anything else.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, Joe. One of the stories that I didn't really know about until today, and I heard a question get asked at the press conference. So I see leading into the game that Quinn was going through warm-ups a little bit, and he had a glove on his hand. Then he starts, and he doesn't have a glove on his hand. And then there's something that came out. Was it after the game about a fingernail that got removed? What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, in the course of asking Steve Sarkisian, like, hey, after the game, I asked him, hey, did you think of pulling him? He said, no, I didn't consider it. So, okay. So then I go back to, in pregame warm-up, seeing Quinn Ewers with a glove on. And, I'm kind of thinking, okay, maybe windy environment, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Asked him about it, and he said, no, it's because his own words were, the fingernail lifted off the bed. He downplayed it. Sarkisian downplayed it. They did not want to put the struggles on that. I don't think that's what you can put the struggles on. I don't think a fingernail is what made Quinn Ewers bad during that game. I think he was just bad during that game, whether his hand was intact or not. So I don't think that's any reason to look at. And, I know that Texas fans have used the, oh man, if only Quinn Ewers was fully healthy. Well, I don't think you can put the fingernail into that argument. Maybe that SC joint problem, but not that one. That was just a bad game from a young quarterback. And I think in the moment, a lot of Texas fans may be upset that happened and turn and look towards not just the player but the coach and wonder how exactly that happened. But I think if you think about before the season, this was, this is kind of what you expect from a freshman quarterback. You're going to have these growing pains. You're going to have these dud games where, yes, even though there are times that the incredible arm talent is showed off, you're going to have times where you look like you're lost out there and nothing's working, and that's just part of freshman territory. The big question now is how does Sark and Ewers and all involved respond to it after the bye?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Joe, we could get after Quinn all we want, but there are other red flags in this game, like how good the special teams was for the Horns, yet they didn't really attribute to many points. And then you have, Jake Majors, those back-to-back really bad snaps. That was weird. And Christian Jones and Kelvin Banks both didn't have a good game. And then you have the Savion Red situation where he's going ballistic on the sideline and gets some coach and stuff. It just weren't really buttoned up. Did you know this things like that other than Quinn when you were in Stillwater at Boone Pickens?
A little bit. As far as the special teams go, I would just kind of credit that to attrition. I think Sark mentioned it, or maybe y'all mentioned it, just the volume of snaps on special teams is crazy. And when you go with the, I think a respectable, and I'm not going to say it's wrong, it's a lot of ways to skin a cat, but when you put a lot of starters on your special teams and you play that many snaps, and then by the way you're paying a lot of defensive snaps too, those guys wear out. So I think that was a big part of it, as far as some of the sloppiness towards the end with Savion Red. And we wrote about this on Inside Texas, it's a young player. I don't think there's anything to it, more to it than that. Just a young player wearing his emotions on his sleeve, and that's something he did when he was in high school too. So I don't think that's any signs of anything, just unraveling or anything like that. I think a team that has a significant amount of newcomers hit the road for the most hostile environment probably in the Big 12, not the most hostile environment in college football, but at least as far as the eight places that Texas is liable to visit, probably that and Tech are up there. And, you know, they just played like the younger team against the experienced crew that, of course, is a really good football team, too. I feel like that's somewhat lost in the mix of all this, is that was the number 11 team in the country that Texas did all this against and came up just short against. Doesn't make it any less, doesn't make it sting any less, doesn't make it more any less frustrating, but I think that's also worth remembering as well.
Talking about Joe Cook, InsideTexasOn3.com, at JosephCook89 on Twitter, if you want to give him a follow. Joe, you know, 20 games in, and it was mentioned today, you know, 10-10 in his first 20. I was not shocked that he left Quinn Ewers in there. I was not shocked that the play calling didn't really get adjusted. I was not shocked that he didn't run the ball more. He said it today. You could tell that second and long to him does not mean run the ball. On some level, in a second half, if it's not going his way, is this just kind of who Sark is?
It's hard for me to argue that that's not who he is. You know, that we have the numbers, we have the results. I think if you're a Texas fan, you're hopeful that, you know, all these things that you see just be so close are signs of improvement. But, Chad, I've been watching so close for the past 6 years. I think everybody else has been watching it longer longer than that.
Yeah.
I do think, you know, that I that's kind of why I asked him today about, hey, who's in your ear when you're in the second half and you're trying to, you know, see what adjustments need to be made? And, of course, he said everybody, but I'm just kind of curious, you know, is it Milwee? Is it Flood, the guys you know longest? Is it Banks? What are they saying? And they, you know, I think he gave an answer that's not, you know, groundbreaking to college football. He said, you know, the guys upstairs say what fronts they're seeing, what stuff like that. But as far as Steve Sarkisian, the head coach, I think everybody can look and see that this team is playing better football, at least compared to last year, but there's going to be a crowd, and that crowd is, you know, probably always justified. That says your record says what your record says you are, and his record's 10-10. So the good news, I think, for Sark, and I think for everybody, is that it's still, you know, it's just 20 games in. It really is still early. We're in the second half of year two with him, and if Texas really wants to try to get itself back into contention to be the program it thinks to be, the right strategy is probably not spinning tires. If there are abject failures everywhere, yeah, then that's when you press eject. But there's no reason to, you know, the Texas is in the situation it's in right now. It's because they've had, what, four coaches in 10 years. Like, I think Steve Sarkisian has room to grow. I think all coaches really have room to grow, but I do think that his 10-10 record is indicative of the coach he is right now, and we'll see if that growth improves anything over the course of the, you know, however long he does end up staying at Texas.
Yeah, but Joe, that's a good point there. He definitely has to grow, but don't you think that growth comes with maybe him realizing, hey, I have way too much responsibility here with the play calling and everything like that. I mean, you look at the NFL, Andy Reid, he's one of the best offensive masterminds in NFL history, yet Eric Bieniemy does the play calling for him. Like, it just seems sometimes the Steve Sarkisian just have too much on his plate to where he can't make adjustments, or he doesn't see that when the game's going along.
Yeah, I'm with you, and that means that, you know, he's got to find that person, you know, it should be him, but he's got to find that person to make sure that, hey, you know, from my perspective over here, this is what I'm seeing, so maybe give this a try, because I don't think if you're Texas, you unpair Steve Sarkisian, the head coach, from Steve Sarkisian, the offensive coordinator. I mean, Chad, you probably saw it on the text line, and you probably saw it, you know, with a lot of interactions. That's what a lot of Texas fans were making fun of the Aggies and Jimbo for. Oh, you got Jimbo, you got this offense. Well, that you hired Jimbo because of his offensive acumen and other program building abilities. You hire Steve Sarkisian because he proved he's one of the, you know, one of the upper echelon play callers in college football. I think if you remove that aspect from him, and Zay, I know you're not saying to, you know, have Steve Sarkisian give up play calling, but if you remove that aspect of him, you remove a lot of the allure of Steve Sarkisian, the head coach in general. So in order to improve, you know, all that, either Sark himself or, you know, the staff or somebody there has got to be able to say, hey, you know, I know you're play calling and this has been working, but, you know, see the stuff that's not working. This is why it's not. I don't know if you recognize that, but here's the information and do it that what you will. But I don't think that, you know, hiring a different offensive coordinator or putting play calling on any of his coaches or anything like that, I don't think that's a good path to tread down, just because then the shine that Steve Sarkisian provided just isn't the same. It's not as shiny, I guess, to say, when he's not the one calling plays.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Couple quick things, Joe, before we let you go. Colts announced Sam Ellinger is going to start the rest of the year. What do you make of it?
Really excited for that. I think that, you know, Sam Ellinger was asked to do a lot of college quarterback things in a college offense, and that means running the football, and you saw how that affected him. Now, I know the Colts have used him specially in some cases, but now he's going to be asked to be a pro, you know, drop back quarterback. And luckily he'll have the support of, you know, a talented running back in Jonathan Taylor, who for personal fantasy purposes, I hope, really has a big game.
That's fair.
He'll have Michael Pittman. You know, there's some guys on that talent, and he's got Frank Reich, who's done pretty decent with quarterbacks in his career. So really excited for him and for him to be able to show off what he's able to do. I think if anybody who watched him at Texas knew that he had a professional career in football in front of him and wanted to see him get his opportunity, and here it is, and it's against a Commanders team that, right, that's who they're playing the Commanders.
I believe you're right.
Get a nice little jump start to his career, and the Colts obviously want to see what they have in Ellinger all the way to the end of the year, but still just an awesome story going from a four-year starter of all the things that he's had to, you know, overcome in his personal life and at Texas and on the field. It's awesome to see, and I don't think anybody, both in the Austin community and the Longhorn community, couldn't be happier for Ellinger seeing the field and starting in the NFL.
Hey, and if he is playing Washington as a Cowboys fan, here we go, Simi! Here we go, baby! Let's go! We'd love to see a victory in your first start. Joe, real quick, your Houston Astros have all kinds of different pressure on them, but it does not seem to be affecting them. What do you make of the World Series matchup, and do you think they're going to get the second ring?
It's so exciting just to see a franchise to where, you know, that is the true embodiment of culture. And I know that there's a lot of easy shots to take about trash cans and all the like, and okay, whatever, good for you. But a team, whether artificially helped or not, you got to do it 162 games. You got to do it in the DS. You got to do it in the LCS. And for four times in 6 years, this franchise, on the backs of guys like Jose Altuve, Justin Verlander, Alex Bregman, Yuli Gurriel, and Yordan Alvarez, they've helped establish a way of doing things there that has contributed to the success, and Dusty Baker too. So just an incredible run to keep track of. You see guys like Ryan Presley, who's a semi-newcomer to it. You see guys like Hunter Brown, who's definitely a newcomer to it. They just, and of course, Jeremy Pena, the MVP, they just fall right in line and keep doing those things, and they reap the benefits as well. So it's just awesome to see. As far as the Phillies go, you know, this is another matchup that every time that the Astros hit the World Series, or at least three of the four times, it seems, what happens is the Astros kind of get through the AL side of things and, you know, prove that they're one of the better teams. And then they hit just an on-fire NL East team, and that caused some concern on the PTSD aspect of it, of making it to the World Series. But, right, you know, I think when you go Verlander to Framber Valdez to, you know, Javier McCullers, you have that bullpen, you have that lineup, and the guys you really need to overcome are you know, Schwarber, Harper, and Nola just as the headliners. This is the homer in me talking, but I don't see this game I don't see the series extending that far, and I do see the Astros getting another ring in this wonderful stretch.
There you go. And then that D word, that dynasty word, can be thrown out if they get another ring. That one starts on Friday. It's Joe Cook. We get him every Monday. Inside Texas on 3.com at JosephCook89 if you want to give him a follow, both for Longhorn stuff, and I'm sure he'll be getting some stuff out when the World Series gets going and his Astros are trying to get that ring. Joe, we appreciate it, man. Glad you're back safe from Stillwater, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Cook getting to enjoy his off week and covering the Longhorns with his Astros starting the World Series on Friday.
Them no Phillies. We gonna take them, baby. Just like how me and Hank Aaron used to do it back in my playing days. Oh, boy. You're the too big, boy. I'll get this steak, chili cheesesteak meat out of my mouth and then I go down and sweep them, boy. Now I'm talking about.
We have people on the text line that would like you to do an entire hour in your dusty Baker voice. If you could do that. Somebody says next hour, Zay, the whole hour in the Dusty Baker voice. If you could do that.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. All right, coming up, your Flex 30 segment. Dripping Springs beating Lake Travis. Cedric Alexander's going after a record. And Zay was contacted by a parent in the area who says, we have missed altogether on a big time player in the area. We'll tell you who he is coming up on the Horn. How would Dusty Baker sing this song?
I can't. I don't think Dusty knew anything about this.
Oh, my God. Okay. I think I've got this one. Is this Jackson Brown?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Correct.
Whew, I can go home tonight.
What movie was this off of?
He's gonna be somebody's
classic, but very inappropriate scene.
What movie?
When the song is playing, by the way.
Oh, she's gotta be somebody. I don't know.
Fast Time, Ridgemont High.
Really? Oh, God. See, I've seen Fast Times, but I didn't connect this one. So,
yeah, real raunchy part where homegirl lies about her age to boy. And
the pool
boy.
House? The pool house scene? Or is that somewhere else?
No, not the pool house
not
scene.
The pool house, not the pool house. Okay.
Yeah, that girl, she definitely got around in that movie.
Okay, all right.
It was the dugout scene.
Oh, the
you
dugout.
You want to go to the point? Huh? The point? What do you mean? Yeah, the point.
See, by you casting Dusty Baker in the movie, you just made it worse. That made it much, much worse. Because I can imagine him with the toothpick in his mouth. And, yeah, you youngsters don't know anything about a dugout, do you? Oh, easy. Easy, Skip. Easy.
Yeah, back in my playing days, I used to know, Pam Grier. And Pam Grier, she always wanted to be the baseball player. Now I'm talking about, so your boy got some chew in his mouth. The boy got the old toothpick, and he had his way with Pam Grier and the dugout. We called it the point. We called it the point.
My goodness. All right. Astros trying to get a World Series title with Mr. Baker at the helm. Jackson Brown, Except, and Meredith Brooks have all been on the show so far today. Musically, we are digging through all of it throughout the weekend. Longhorns falling in Stillwater, 41-34. All the quarterback questions and issues and play calling and everything around that. Cowboys get the win with Dak Prescott coming back. That defense stepping up again, creating a couple of huge turnovers that helped turn that game the other way. And yes, congrats to all you Astros fans. The pressure is certainly on your team. You are playing another hot team from the NL East. Let's see if you can close the door this time, because you certainly closed the Yankees out. By the time that was over, it was Aaron Judge with a tired little grounder, and he was like one for a million in that series. By the way, even Altuve has woken up now.
Uh-oh.
Bad news, Philly. If Altuve's going to do that, and this Jeremy Pena kid is going to keep batting like that. Pena was 2 for 4, 2 runs scored, 3 RBIs with that homer last night. He has been unbelievable.
Carlos Correa, who?
The idea.
Carlos Correa, huh?
Zay, you face him, followed by Alvarez, followed by Bregman. If Altuve is going to start doing something at the top of that lineup, I do not know how Philly deals with that top four, man. That's nasty.
Yeah, they're an absolute problem. I don't know how you pitch to those guys. They got guys that just hit in any part of the zone. Hell, even sometimes out of the zone. And I was joking about Carlos Correa. Why'd y'all make Carlos Correa do the posters and the press and the pregame and all that stuff? Like, that's petty. That's cold-blooded.
It really has been torturing him.
That's cold-blooded. Yeah. I get it, Carlos Correa. Get your bag, dog, and maybe you might want to pursue that, you know, for when your career ends. But, man, they took some pictures of him throughout these series, and he looks like a lost puppy.
Yeah, he does. You are absolutely right. All right, so we're talking about all that today. We also want to get you a flex segment. Big win for the Tigers over the weekend. And somebody contacted us about a big-time player. Here we go.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the horn and go to FLXATX.com. Flex 30 is brought to you by Brain Vault. Brain Vault is a revolutionary and patented mouth guard that has been proven to help reduce the risk of concussion. Visit BrainVault.com and join the movement.
All right, Zay, I'm going to try to show my range here. I'll talk about Dripping Springs, and I'm not going to say the quarterback's name.
Look at you.
They got a big win at Lake Travis on Friday. They're 7-1. They're 5-1 in district. And the big performance of the night that I think we need to mention is that running back, Cade Curry. 32 carries for 181. He got that touchdown late with about 15 seconds to go. Also, my favorite receiver for them, Garen Duncan, had a 37-yard touchdown to tie it late. It went right down to the end. Congrats to Dripping Springs. That is a big win. Also, shout out Nico Hamilton from Lake Travis. He did his work. 28 carries for 171. That was a war from the beginning to the end. It was 38-31 final, back and forth game. Highly entertaining. But in the end, Dripping Springs got the win. So they won at Vandegrift and at Lake Travis this year. That's got to help them out as they get into the big time, you know, a big time playoff run. They are officially in the playoffs now.
Yeah, for sure. Shout out to the Tigers. I mean, I know they're still a little down from that Westlake loss, but to avenge a loss is to come back and get another big-time win, especially on the road, especially against your rival.
That's big, man.
It is huge. Yeah. And Lake Travis, man, they're a really tough team, which I think once the playoffs hit, they're still going to be a tough out. They're still that same Lake Travis team. They might not have all the household names of previous years, but that coaching staff, that crew, they're going to find a way to make things work. So, you know, you always got to listen to Snoop and Craig and them about the alignments. I know the Division I and D2, 6A and stuff. I know that gets juggled around. I feel like Bowie this year might be D2. I don't know for sure. Somebody told me that Westlake has like 12 more kids at the school, which might make them D1. I don't know about all that, but hey, good big time dub for the Tigers.
It is. I heard somebody talking out at Vandegrift that maybe Vandegrift Lake Travis could be a first round matchup, like in the playoffs. And I thought, man, that sounds like
that's insane.
That sounds crazy if that's true. I don't know how it'll line up either, but obviously keep it at FLXATX.com. Also, if I'm reading it correctly, tomorrow at noon for you Dripping Springs fans, the mixtape for Dripping Springs will be coming out to cover that big win. All right, Zay, so we've been asking people throughout the season, hey, let us know if we're missing any players. Let us know, and we've been contacted by a few parents, you know, thanking us for talking about the kids, but sometimes we get contacted and they say, hey, you guys aren't talking enough about a particular kid, and we had one of those over the weekend because somebody reached out to you.
Yeah, shout out to Leighton Riviere of St. Dominic.
St. Dominic Savio?
Yeah, St. Dominic Savio. He has 30 touchdown passes as of right now, absolutely slinging that thing. Shout out to Leighton.
So it's Leighton
Riviere, I think.
Leighton, okay. Make sure we get this right.
Yeah, I hope we get it right.
Spell that last name for me.
R-I-V-I-E-R-E.
E-R-E. Leighton Riviere, maybe?
Riviere.
30 touchdown passes. St. Dominic Savio. My man Rick Sacamano's got got a son at Savio right now.
Okay.
They go out to those games and
hey,
watch.
We don't discriminate.
And watch Leighton chunk the ball
around. We don't discriminate.
Around.
Private school, taps, yeah. Public school, whatever. If you're out here getting it done, we're going to talk about you.
30 touchdown passes in a high school season? Okay. All right. Mr. Revere or yeah. Rivieri or whatever, however you say it.
Hey, you're slinging it, dog.
Yeah, that is slinging it. So we do appreciate everybody, reaching out, letting us know where these players are. Obviously, we get our eyes on it as much as we can. The Flex crew covers as much as they can. And I know I've heard them talk about St. Dominic Savio on the scoreboard shows, on the Flex post games and half times as they're covering things. So shout out to Leighton and that St. Dominic Savio team. Our Flex segment is every day at 1:30. Rod and Harge will have your next one coming up about 3:45. And if you're a Longhorn fan, you know you want to hear them breaking down Texas at Stillwater. Get Rod's thoughts on it. Get Harge's thoughts on it. Patrick's thoughts as well, as they were all pulling for the Longhorns, and obviously it did not go their way. Coming up next, where are we at in society? Zay's going to let us know. At 2, we get back into the full weekend. Texas losing, Cowboys win, Astros go into the World Series, and Austin FC finally solved that Dallas problem. They're headed to L.A. for a shot at a championship game. It's all coming up on the Horn.
At home and rolls her spastic eyes, but every weekend through the door.
That is a thick bass line right there. My God. Who produced this record? The bass player's mom? Boom, boom, boom. That is a thick bass. Oh, let's see. I feel like this may be where it ends, Zay. I've guessed all of them right so far.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
I think I'm out on this one. Who is it?
Joe Jackson, ooh. Sunday Papers, and we're not talking about Michael's daddy. That'd be a different tune.
Yep. If you'd played a different tune of Joe Jackson's, I would have known it. This is not one I'm familiar with, though. He had a smooth voice back in the day.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, some good stuff. Joe Jackson, Jackson Brown, except Meredith Brooks. They've all been on the show today. And if you are jumping in, let's hit a couple of NFL headlines for you. Congrats to Sam Ellinger. He's the new starter in Indianapolis. And if rumors are true, they're playing Washington this week. So, Sam Ellinger, I need you, brother. I need you as a Cowboys fan. I'd love to see you beat Washington.
Much as I want Sam to get that dub, Taylor Heinicke has that locker room in the palm of his hands.
I did enjoy Heinicke beating Rodgers yesterday.
That was great.
I know you were kind of enjoying that, too.
Oh, I love Taylor Heinicke. I love him. I'm all about the XFL guys like PJ Walker, those guys somehow finessing their way to the NFL. Guys go out, their opportunity comes, and they make the best of it. Both PJ Walker and my man Taylor Heinicke knocked out your boy Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers yesterday, former XFL quarterbacks. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I liked half of that story yesterday. I didn't like that full story, but I liked half of it. Congrats to Sam. And then the other story really, really sucks for Breece Hall. He had an incredible day yesterday. The Jets beat the Broncos. That stretch to the left run he had, that long touchdown run, was a thing of beauty. But then, Zay, he busted his knee up. They think it's ACL. Not they think. It's ACL and a meniscus injury. He's out for the rest of the year.
Yeah, it didn't even look bad. It seemed like, you know, he got hit and then he just, I guess, went down awkwardly. And, yeah, this just knocks out a really, really good player. And low-key, he was on his way to maybe getting Rookie of the Year with how he's been playing offensive Rookie of the Year. And, like I say every week, that Jets team, they got the best rookie class in the league. Another big time win. They're somehow 5-2, which is crazy.
It's nuts.
This definitely hurts them for the long run.
Yeah, it was not a beautiful NFL game, but the Jets got a bag of doorknobs and just beat the Broncos with it for four quarters. That is a physical football team, man.
They are.
They can win ugly-ass games. They're not going to win the pretty ones, but that sucks that they lost Breece Hall. So that did happen tonight. You've got Patriots and Bears. If you're a Cowboys fan, Bears are your next opponent. So if you want to scout it out, 2-4 Chicago at 3-3 New England. All right, coming up, we'll get back into the big stories of the weekend, including Texas losing in Stillwater. What the heck was going on with the Longhorns? We've been talking about all those issues today. We'll get back into it. And yes, we'll talk about what Coach Sark apologized for at the end or at the beginning of his press conference today, in case you care about that as a Longhorn fan. Right now, though, let's go where we at in society with Zay.
Where are we at in society today?
All right, Zay, am I allowed to look at my Twitter?
Yeah, you are, but do not get in trouble. Make sure you delete this.
Make sure I delete it.
Make sure you delete it before you get home. Wendy, I have nothing to do. I am just doing my job on putting this out to the people.
Whoa!
Doing my research. Doing my research and whatnot. I'm going to have to do some deleting myself for my wife.
Okay, okay.
Because this is a weird, bad, but also my men's side coming out.
Wow.
Pretty great story, but also really, really bad.
Okay, tell me the story. I will try to focus on what you're saying.
The Wisconsin volleyball team got like a plethora of videos/photos leaked.
Oh, no.
And it's interesting because it's all consensual, according to them. They knew they were being filmed. They're filming each other,
uh-huh,
celebrating and just going crazy in the locker room. And
we're unwinding, team building.
Team building. This is one of the best volleyball teams in the nation. I want to say they won the national championship last year, I think, 2021. I don't know if these videos were taken in 21, but in these photos where they're celebrating, girls are topless, bitties are out, they're posing. Like, they got a photo where they're just posed
up. It seems like they are focused on two things. They are focused on chests, and they are focused on cabooses.
Yeah.
It is a chest and caboose kind of team there at Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, on one side, you're like, wow, this is horrible. I hate that they're getting exposed like this. And on the other side, you're like, wow, this is like every guy's fantasy in the way. What goes on in a woman's locker room? They're literally living that out by doing this, celebrating that, like, oh, what happens at the women's sleepover? Are they, you know, playing pillow fight? This is that type of thing. And it's like these girls who are, they know they're on camera. They know they're taking these photos. The whole volleyball team, I don't know how much is on the volleyball roster, but it's at least 15 of them. That have been exposed in this situation. The fact that it's them, they're still winning games, they're not making a big deal out of it in a way, but also somebody leaked those photos. And when you have that many people involved, then more likely happens, you're going to get photos like that leaked.
So first off, do we know how the team has reacted to this yet? Have they had time to kind of process it all and react?
They're just playing games. Like, I don't know how many of these girls have graduated already, because some people are saying, like, you could see on their hat, this is like 2021. So Okay. They could be, they're older photos.
I'm not just trying to be a bit of a smartass here, but do you think this could be like transfer portal kind of stuff? Could this be somebody transfers off the team and had the pictures and videos and just decided, okay, nobody's checked in to see how I'm doing at whatever school I'm at now, I'm just going to throw them out there?
You have to take everything into account. It's weird. Is it like an angry ex-boyfriend that always knew this was around, and then the breakup happened, and he's always had this, and he was like, oh, I'm going to expose y'all,
right,
which is the worst thing happened. Like, this is a bad story all around. Like, these girls, they should not be exposed like this, no matter how pervy we are. It's bad. It's a bad situation. But also, devil's advocate here, you got to know you can't film stuff like this in today's age.
Well, I mean, trust me, I understand what you're saying, but I'm an old man who would never film that stuff. Zay, these kids now, they're growing up where everybody's got the phone from, like, what, age 10 on? This is what happens.
Yeah, we're in the OnlyFans era where you can make money, like, off of your beauty and whatever else you do. You can do that and not technically be straight-up porn star.
And
it's still considered sex work.
Yeah.
But, like,
I think it's
an interesting time we live in.
I think it sucks that this stuff leaks. I hated it when that first, whatever, the fappening or whatever, when all the famous people's pictures and video got put out there and it created the Hope Solo angle and Justin Verlander and Kate Upton. I hated that all that got out there. I hated that a story like Aaron Andrews happened That's a slightly different version of a story,
Melissa
too.
Thompson.
But the fact, right, stuff like that where it's getting out and we know they don't want it to be out there, and then somehow people are will turn it around on them, and ultimately it becomes what you're saying. It becomes, hey, if you don't want it out there, you don't need to be filming it. You don't need to be doing it. So hopefully this team does not experience a whole lot of backlash because of it. Obviously, it's something they were trying to keep private, but it's tougher and tougher to do, man. You're trying to keep it in your community in that tight circle. But yeah, sometimes things are gonna.
Hey, they got a new fan in me. They know that I'm fully supporting. If Texas women's volleyball doesn't win, Wisconsin, y'all next up in my book. Well done, overall. I'm glad y'all are happy and freely. I hope y'all can take this in and use it as motivation to dominate. That would be a cool story. But yeah,
on Wisconsin, on Wisconsin. The team more people choose. Yeah, they are now America's team. Yeah. They are now America's volleyball team. Best of luck, ladies. Do not let them shame you about this. Do not let them shame you, because you have every right to be taking pictures of and video and whatever you want. Now, you've just created yourself a distraction, but if you're good enough to power through the distraction, then who cares?
Yeah, they're definitely confident.
Who cares?
They're definitely confident.
They're definitely confident
all around.
If
on and off the court, if you know what I'm talking about.
If my front court and back court looked like that, I'd be confident too. My goodness, see, it's not just the rest of us, Zay, that'll look and go, "Wow, now that volleyball player is in really good shape." They're thinking it about each other as well. Look at the shape she's in. We might want to video that and send that out to the group. My goodness. All those morning workouts have paid dividends. All right, there you go. Where we at in society? Zay usually lets us know about 1:45, and yes, I'm going to have to clean off my Twitter DMs here pretty quickly.
Yeah, be careful
out there. All right, 2 o'clock hour coming up. Longhorns lose in Stillwater, and Steve Sarkisian apologized for something around the game. Was it the number of carries? Was it the number of passes? Actually, it was neither. We'll tell you what it was coming up on the horn.